So we're going to go through some of the Harachakos, and then Hashem finish next week. So the first in it to talk about is the Sif Beis, the Isser of Hoshata. Isser of passing things from husband and wife to wife is not mentioned in Chazal. It's mentioned though as a Chumrah of Rashi, that Rashi was careful not to pass to his wife a key when she was in Nida. The Rush writes that we could find a remnant to this in the Talmud of Eliyahu. The Talmud of Eliyahu tells us a Maisa that there was a woman who lost her husband at a very young age. And she was very bothered and very upset that her husband was a tzaddik, and people don't die without a chet. And she said her husband didn't have a chet, and why did he die? So Eliyahu Hanavi met with her, and he said, is it true your husband was a tzaddik? And she said, yes. So he started talking to her, trying to find out what the chet was. So in the discussion, he said to her, Shema Havesa Allah Sakin V'Nagabach Etzel Katana. He says, maybe he brought you a knife, and when we were passing a knife from you to him, so when we were passing a knife, maybe you touched, right? To pass a knife, it's very hard to pass without touching, so maybe you touched. So the woman answered that no, we never touched. So then Eliyahu Navi went on to a different question. But the Rush points out that it sounds like there's a chet going on here. So what was the chet that Eliyahu was asking about? He said that you brought him you passed a knife to him, he passed a knife to you. So what was the chet? L'chayra. Alpha etzim negiya, so negiya is only asur derech yivavataiva. Not only that, certainly over here it's enu miskaving, touching without kavana. How could you possibly call that a chet? So what's the chet here?
So don't we say that touching shalom derech yivav is asur by
anyone? Okay, you're right, but I'm just asking the question. You're right. I'm just saying it's clear the Gemara, the chet isn't the etzem a chet of a real straight out chet of kirva l'erva, right? It's not. It's something hachaka related. So the Rush says that the chet must be is the fact that he passed the knife in the first place. Once you pass the knife, there's a din of hachaka. That you can't do anything that could come to an inadvertent negia, meaning that a negia, not the negia derech yibum taiva, but by achakas is the din of doing something that could bring to a negia, and then since you did something that could bring to a negia, you weren't careful enough not to have a negia. So in mail, that's already an iser mitzat hakanas chachamim. So the nice thing you see is that in a chinami, the chet shebo, the problem of passing things is a chash that you're going to touch. And that, but the chiddush is, you see, that there's an issur to do something that might bring to inadvertent touching. That's asur midin harchaka. So that's the side of Rashi's hanhaga. And the emes is that the soil of harchaka, besides the passing. Passing is asr because it's something that brings to an inadvertent touching. But pashut that the etzem, any sort of accidental touching is a problem. Right? If a husband and wife are walking next to each other, they should be careful. They shouldn't walk so close to each other because if they inadvertently touch, it's considered that they're being over on a din of harchaka. And the emes is clear from Rashi. Is that the only thing asur is something that might bring to touching, something small. And the Medrash, he talks about a knife, passing a knife. Rashi talks about passing a key. But something that's not going to bring to touching really would not be a problem. We find, however, in the Shulchan Aruch, he asurs, you're not allowed to pass shum davar, anything. and he bases it on Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham says even a pole that you're passing, so the mice, there's no chash you're going to touch, afal pikein it's aser. The Lachar's pshat is that this is a later chumrah. It's not even the chumrah of Rashi. This is stam a minig of added chumrah here. Throwing things from husband to wife is even a kosher cane. Even Rabbeinu Yerucham didn't ask for throwing things. And the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't mention an issur of throwing things. The Ramah, however, adds this on, v'shem Rabbeinu Peretz, that he had such a chumrah. But again, the chayr is just a chumrah, but l'maisa, it's accepted. So even, you can't pass the keys to one's wife, but none of that, you can't throw it. The one heter given here is in the placey. He says the heter that could sometimes be useful. He says, l'maisa, the Ramah asks for throwing, but he says, you can be maker of the tafka when you're throwing to your wife. When you're not throwing directly to your wife, you're just throwing the keys in the ear and your wife is cashing it, but you do a shinui that you're not throwing directly to her. So in Mela, the place he says is smutter. That could be a heter. There's a question what to do about passing babies. That's often a very big problem, because it's hard, sometimes it's hard to put a baby down on the floor, and you really have a need to pass it from hand to hand. So there's a Tashbeit that's quoted that says that it should be mutter because chayno says atzmo. So even though it's a Tashbeit, it's a Rishon, l'maisa Achronim point out, it's hard to understand what on earth he's talking about. The whole basis for the Isser is a chashash of negiyah. It's a chashash of negiyah. Passing a baby is one of the hardest things to pass without touching. It's almost impossible to pass a baby, a young baby, without touching, because you don't want to endanger the stability of the baby. You have to like hold him by the center of balance. So what do I care? Chayna says atzma is a din by melech shabbos, a din of melech machshavos, a din to the mishkan. That doesn't seem to have a hesber. The one thing to matter is what Scheinberg says is the one way to understand Chaynos Atzma is really just as a borrowed lashon. You could hear Lahalacha saying that when the child is actually helping himself, you don't have to actually transfer the child like an infant, but the child is helping and moving, spreading out his hands to go to the other parents. So Mamela, there would be a heter. Another shayla of Moshe was asked about what do you do if you need to carry something heavy, you need to carry a couch together, or husband and wife need to carry a stroller up steps together. So that's an issue. Rav Moshe is tshuva. He's noted to be machma. He doesn't say it like it's mamsh asa, but his natias is better to be machma. Rav Eider's Sefer, he writes that Rav Moshe said that if there's a pressing need, you could be mekel. There's a partial reason to be mekel, just misvara, is that even we know the ikud of chashash is just a chashash of negiyah. So it's true that Shulchan Aruch paskins that passing shum davar is aser, but there at least when you're passing something, so the teva is to pass it by the center of gravity. So, Mamele, even though you're going to pass a pole holding on, the man's holding one end, the wife's holding another end, but the etzem, they're doing something that could bring them to hold it from the middle and cause a negiyah. Whereas if you're carrying something with dafka heavy and you're bedafka carrying it with two people, not to pass it, but because you need two people to carry it, so Mamele, the derech of carrying heavy things is that each person, two people, each person takes a different side. You would have to want to distribute the weight. You're not going to hold it together. It's not going to bring you too big close. And the male of this room is to hear that it should be mutter. It's at least b'makom tzayrich, carrying a stroller onto a bus or up steps, and so you wouldn't be make them. Sif Gimel. On Sif Gimel, we talk about eating together. So eating together is the one harchaka. That's in the Mishnayos. The Mishnah says, Lo yocha zav mazava mipnei hergal aveira. Says that zav can't eat it with a zava. I mean, even two people are tame, so there's no fear of one person becoming tame from the other. Afal pikein is asur because of hergal aveira. Eating together might bring to aveira. So if we just had the Mishnah and even the Gemara, we could really just take this as at face value that they husband and wife shouldn't eat together. The Rishonim though didn't take it this way. It seems in Rishonim there was no such minhag. You know, they just knew from the way the Jewish houses were working that that wasn't the case. And there is one could eat together with one's wife. But there's a machlokes Rishonim, so what exactly is the issur here? So basically, there's two camps in Rishayim. One mahalach is to say that Chazal were assuring a chivudik eating, the sort of eating that one doesn't do stand with his friends. Rather, like eat together at the table. Men eat together at a table, but something more chivudik, a type of eating that one only does with his wife. That's the issue we're talking about. The Rambam says eating from one plate. So the Chayra, he says that's his Aser. Right? The Iser could be is that normally each person has their own plate. So if you're eating from one plate, that shows a certain type of closeness. The Rush says, the Gemara is talking about eating from a small table, an individual table. That by Chazal, everyone would have their own table. So since people would have their own table, if a husband and wife would eat from one table, but normally people wouldn't want to eat from one table. That was too close for comfort for two men. So therefore there's something miyuchadik romantic about a man and woman eating from the same table. The Arayim adds another type of isser on this, which he says is so too drinking from one cup. Drinking one from one cup is also asr, even though they're not, you know, it could be that they're on a long table and they're drinking from one cup, so they're not getting so close to each other. But afal pi kein, drinking from one cup is also something that normally people don't do if they're not married. They usually don't drink each other's leftovers, and in Mela, it's a chivutik eating. It doesn't eat, therefore the man should not eat, should not drink from her cup. The Rama adds on also not eating her leftovers. The Chod of Shad is all part of this, the same sort of alumnus of this is, there's something here unique to husband and wife. That's one mahalach, which we take l'alacha. The other mahalach, which is also taken to halacha, is that even on a big table there's an iser. The Reva, the Rambam, and the Rashba say that the iser is even on a big table. So why is it that people eat with their wife? So they write, they're saying right, is that it's only mutter al-idei a hacker. Now a hacker, certainly not mentioned in the Gemara as being a heter. They're definitely not all harchakos or mutter al yedei hacker. But the concept of hacker, they understood from the fact that we see people do eat at one table. They understood that and Chazal says asher, so they say that the kavana was with the hacker. And the basis for hacker you see in the Gemara, Gemara in Shabbos brings that concept of a hacker. The Gemara has it sad to say that a man and a wife should be able to sleep in one bed together as when they're nida, when the wife's in nida, if they're wearing their clothing. Because the clothing helps as a hacker. It's a hacker that they're asr, and the Gemara has it said that should be mutter. The Gemara comes out that's not mutter, but the Gemara has such a tzad, and if we see that having a shinu is something different, that serves as a reminder that she's asura, so that could possibly make a heter. The other place we see it is the Gemara in Ksuvus, says that Mezigas HaKos, that if the wife can't pour wine for the husband, but if she pours it out there, shinui, she puts it down a little farther, extra far away from the husband, more distance than usual, so that will serve as a hecker. So Mamela, they have such a concept of hecker. But the actual hecker of putting something on the table, that's something you find Rishonim a little bit more of a favorite by Basar B'Chalav. That Rishonim said of the Gemara talks about that if you eat Basar and Chalav, two people on one table, one's eating Basar, one's eating Chalav, so you're not allowed to be at one table. But the Gemara says if they're in two tfisos, so then it becomes mutter. Two tfisos, meaning that they're at one table, but there's some sort of separation between their eating. They're not eating together, they're two separate tfisos. So Mimela, it becomes mutter. And Rosh Hashanah understood that that means there's some sort of a separation between the two achilas. So Mimela, that's what's brought la halacha. It's mutter al yedei hacker. Now there's a shaila, what exactly is the lumbus here of the hacker? What exactly is it doing? And it's a nafkim in exactly what will work as a hacker. What will make a din of hacker to matter than to eat together. So it seems to be machlik is the Rashba in the beginning of Mishmeres Habayis and Shara Prisha. So he writes that the concept of hacker is that they should come to eat from one plate together. He has there a machlekes with the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah writes that it's also to eat at one table together. He says, but if there's a person sitting between the husband and the wife, so the Mela, we could be matter them to eat together. Because the concept, the Ra'ah understands the concept why it's also to eat together, is because it's romantic. They're eating together, they might come to Aveira. But there's someone sitting between them. So Mimela, there's no special hiskarvis here. And Mimela, the Ra'ah says, is pashut that should be mutter. So it makes a lot of sense. However, the Rashba is cholik. And he says, what do I care if there's someone between them? He says, just because there's someone between them, how's that going to stop him from taking food from her plate? So it's a little Hella, like what's he talking about? I'm not worried about him taking food from her plate. I'm worried about him coming to be over Aveira with her. But L'chayr, the Pshat, is that the Rashba understood differently than the Ra'ah. The Rashba says, he actually writes, he says that the concept of Hekka is like the concept of Hekka we find with Basar B'Chalav. With Basar B'Chalav, we don't care. One person's eating milchiks, one person's eating fleishiks, and one person's eating parv in the middle. It doesn't make a difference, because L'maisa, the problem is that perhaps one person will reach his hand to the other side, the person eating milchiks will reach his hand over to the person eating fleishiks and take a bit of fleishiks. So Mamela, the fact someone's in the middle doesn't help. So the Rashba understood, in a chinam is less romantic, but that's not the point. The point is the etzem achilu yachad, the etzem the fact, that the physical closeness that they're eating together and they're, you know, they're eating and they're taking from the table together and they might come to get too close. The fear of just the physical closeness. So that's what creates the iser. The male, if that's what creates the iser. The fact is the person between them, he says, is not going to make a difference. So that's a machlekes. The ikur of the minig is to be maker like the ra'ah. That having a person between will be a heter. That's the Rashba. There's also an afkamin here. Is that the Rashba writes something interesting just in lashon? The Rashba writes. He says the heker has to be ben karish alola karish Allah. He says a lashon that's actually taken by the Shulchan Aruch that the heker should be placed between the two plates. So the chayra, what's this coming from? To the ra'ah, the concept of the heker is to create a separation between them. L'chaira, the heker should be between the man and between the woman. You're trying to separate the people. The Rashi understands, it's like a basar v'chalav, that you want to separate the achila. So l'chaira, it's a little bit of a different concept. And where should the heker be placed? It's interesting. It's interesting, b'chlal, you know, by basar v'chalav, the concept of a heker is an interesting concept. Like, what exactly is heker doing? The chayur is doing by basar v'chalav is it's creating two tfisos. It's coming out of the Gemara saying that they could eat from two tfisos. That tfisos means that sort of like you're on one table, but you're clearly not eating together. You're doing something to demonstrate with separate meals that happens to be on one table. So it's interesting, see that, is that by Basar B'chalav, you could definitely hear that the heker, it's not just serving as a reminder there. The point isn't, it's simply a sign or something just to remind you that someone's eating your milk, so you're eating milk. Or might the person has cheesecake in front of them, that'll remind them. But the point is, you're demonstrating that these are two different achilas. My milk's not connected with the other person's milk. So it could be through the Rashi, but that would make sense by Nida as well, is that, you know, if they have a heker, the heker is like a dividing line. I'm eating from this side of the heker, you're eating from the other side of the heker. And I thought, after you could clarify through the Rashi, what would be the din? You know, if the, you can't eat from one karav, but what if it's not one karav, but what if there's just a lot of food on the table, and, you know, serving plates and different things, and they're ignoring the heker, they're passing their hands, each one to the other side of the heker. It just happens to be there's a heker there. Right? But the L'chaira and the Rashba could be the point of the heker is like by Basar V'chalav, that you shouldn't be stretching out your hands over the heker. It's sort of like a physical barrier between the two people. So Efshar, that could be a Chumra with the Rashba. Another shayla should also be telling on this. Only so in modern day Sfarim. Question: what should the din be if there's no table? A husband and wife are eating in a park. They're having a picnic, and each one has their food on their lap. So what should the din be? So. I didn't see any like Hezver and the Shaila, but I just saw in Shevet Halevi, Rav Vazner writes that it should be Aser. I saw in Asher Ish B'Shem Rav Yashav that it should be Mutter. I didn't see real speaking about the Svaras are. I thought the Machlokes really should be a Machlokes between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. Lefi the Rashba. The problem is eating together, because when you eat together, it's like a Basar B'Chalav. You're on one table, and since you're on one table, you naturally, your hands start moving all around the table, and therefore, that brings them to perhaps come to a chash negiyo or getting too close. Just like Basar B'Chalav will come to taking everything that's on the table, taking from the Basar. Because you're on one table, if there is no table, and he's eating from his lap, she's eating from her lap, so that's two tvisos. That's clearly two tvisos to separate achila. But to Rav Vazner who says it is asked that I could hear that moral derech the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says the problem is the romantic eating, that there's nothing showing, there's nothing reminding them that we're a little bit distanced there. So what's distancing them? They're going, they're eating in the park together. There's no table anywhere to be seen. So they're not doing anything that they would do differently if she was Tahora. So Mamela, here, perhaps there should be room to be machmer. What would you have to do? You'd have to do some sort of a shinui. So Rav Vazner says a shinui could be potentially moving a little bit, either putting something in between them or moving a little more distance than they would normally be, but something to demonstrate that there's a separation between the man and the woman. So that could be. So that could be a room for Chumra to have a heker in such a situation. The other Rishonim who have other coolers here also on the lines of the Ra'ah. There's a Beis Yosef brings from Rabbeinu Yeruchim that if they change their seats, the husband or wife sit in a different seat, so that could work as, Rabbeinu Yeruchim held that could work as a hacker. So the emphasis is it's a chiddush, right? The Ra'ah, he had a head of someone sitting between them. He didn't just say change your seat. But Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the concept would be along the lines of the Ra'ah, saying it's clearly not like the Rashba, nothing to do with Basar B'Chalav or separate achilas, it's just something to remind them that she's Tameya. It's a chiddush. I saw one say for bringing it lahalacha, but it's a big chiddush because, to me it's a big chiddush because l'chayru, the idea of harchaka is that you're even to the ra'ah, you're doing something demonstrating a harchaka. Like if you would sit farther from each other, perhaps that I could hear the feel the ra'ah being a heter. Perhaps you could hear that, right? The Ra'ah himself says someone's sitting between you. That's more than just sitting a little farther. He seems to be going further than that. But Rabbeinu Yeruchim is having just saying anything you do that shows something's different today. So he held that as a heter. So there are some that will. I saw the Mishmar's Tara bring that as a heter, but it's a big chiddush to say heter like that. But somehow, the other big heter that some Sfarim take more seriously or some less, is the Masis bin Yamin, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva. The Masis bin Yamin says a very useful hatil. He says, as long as the other people at the table, it makes the hatil. I mean, even if the husband and wife are sitting right next to each other, but their kids are there, so the male, there's no need to have a hacker. So that's a very useful kula, right? Because that's usually when it's a problem. When they're alone with the house, it's very easy to have a nice hacker there. A significant hacker that'll really remind them because it's noticeable, but you don't want it to be noticeable when all the other people are around. So the Mela, this Masis bin Yamin could be useful. The emesis, the Masis bin Yamin himself, he doesn't say to rely on it. He just says it as a svar. He's not sure to rely on it. The emesis, the Rashman, both don't hold by it. They clearly don't hold by it because their whole discussion was just about if there's a person sitting between husband and wife. If it's just another person sitting at the table, it was clear that they asked her. So the Mela, it really is not Kedai to rely on it. Some suggest using it as a sniffle heter. A sniffle heter is a useful thing because the sniffle heter is important about knowing exactly what type of hacker to use. You know, if your husband or wife are alone, they should use a hacker l'mahadrin. Mahadrin hacker is that, first of all, it should be nicker. Should be nicker, because of that, that's the point. Is they should notice it. Some use a hacker, and it's really not enough for anyone to really notice it. You'll notice that you don't notice it. You put like a nice big duck on the table, toy duck or something, and you're going to notice it. So that'll really be a hacker. The other point is the Taz writes in Hamtzvas Rechalov is this should be a gova to a hacker. Patrick, he gets this from Tosfos. Tosfos says, what's two tfisos? The Gemara says, Basar b'chol should be eaten in two tfisos. So the Tosfos brings from the Gemara Avodah Zarah that using the word tfisa, talking about din of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is talking about Avdei Markolios. If you find stones around the Markolios of Avodah Zarah, so the Gemara says that if it's tfisa echas with the achas of Avodah Zarah, we assume it was a stone that was thrown and rebounded off the Avodah Zarah. But if it's not in tefisa with the Avodah Zarah, so then you could assume the rack is Mutar Bahanan. So what does it mean there? What does tefisa mean? So the Gemara says tefisa means that there's tefisa achas means there's no gova between them. If there's a gova between the areas, so then we assume the rack is mutter because there's a gova, there's a heightened area between where the rack is and the avodah zarah. So the emes is, there's extremely little shaykhus between that sugya and anything to do with basa b'chal varnida. That has to do with how racks are rebounding from the avodah zarah. But l'chayr, that's where the Taz is getting it from, because Taisa says that that's what tfisa means. It has to do with this gemara of avodah zarah, that there's a gova between them. And the concept will be is that you want to make two tfisas, you want to have some gova that's a little bit of a mana mechitza, but it's something serving as a little bit of a separation. You know, a nap is not going to serve as a separation, there's nothing separating. So therefore, that's definitely the best way to have a harchaka. The emes is a hacker, best way to have a hacker. But the emes is that v'ikur in Rishayim, the Taz is based on the Isser v'Heter, but most Rishayim don't bring this point about having a gova, and aren't so befeirish about what would create a hacker. And the Mela, there is room to be a little more makos. It's not so clear, and therefore generally the minig is to rely on this Masas Bin Yamin, as other people on the table, and even if the husband and wife are sitting next to each other, to try to use use the best hacker they could, but something that'll be discreet, right? Something that some people even allow like a crumpled up a napkin that they both know not to use. Maybe the best thing to do, you know, one thing is, you know, that it should be, that might help, that make this work, is that they speak out that this is really functioning as a hacker. Even if it's just a napkin, it's functioning as a hacker, and that's a separation between them, that they shouldn't pass it. It's like they shouldn't pass over that between husband and wife. Perhaps, at least they'll feel the havana of the rational, perhaps that could add a little bit to the meaningfulness of this hacker. Yeah.
I remember by Basa B'chol, there's a discussion of it, can they use, let's say it's a pitcher, right?
Oh.
So would that apply here?
So you can use a pitcher if you're not using it. If it's empty.
In Basa B'chol, there was a discussion about maybe you could even use the pitcher.
Right. So here, Svaram says to be something you're not using.
But could you use that with the Masa B'nyamin?
I hear it even worse, because the whole concept is that Basar v'chalav, maybe you could hear that this is making, is demonstrating we're not passing over this. Over here, the eager point is like demonstrating that we're more meruchuk one from the other. So something like a shield like this, you know, something that's like, I don't know, let me think about it though. Okay. All right. So, fine. So the last nekuda here, just talk about for today. There's a whole next week we'll have to finish up. The inyan of mita achas. So there's a din, right? So of course they can't sleep in one bed, but there's a chumra in Shulchan Aruch that the man should not sit on the wife's bed, even if the wife's not home. So not being in one bed together, so that we understand, it's our chaka. But what could be wrong, if the wife's not there, what could be wrong with the husband sitting on her bed? So you have to say something. You have to say there's something a little bit hear-herdic about it. It'll start him thinking. Maybe she'll fall asleep in the bed and she'll come home, is what to say. So something here, her dick. The emes is a chiddush, because it's not mentioned in the Gemara. Really, the Gemara is a little bit mashma that it's not true. because in the Gemara and Shabbos Gemara, it's a little bit surprising. The Gemara has a half a meaning that the Gemara wants to know, could husband and wife sleep in one bed together when there's when she's Anita? They had to, they're sleeping in their clothes. Usually they sleep without clothes, and now they're sleeping with pajamas on. Or whatever they're sleeping with there. They didn't have pajamas, so they're sleeping in their clothes. So the emes is, the Gemara is a little bit of a pellet, because we have so many hachakos, and this sounds like way beyond the pale of Hector. So, but the Gemara has a habit, and the Gemara ends off its asr because it's a little sikra. Being in one bed together is considered to be, so it's just like with an Eishes Ish, you can't sleep in one bed with an Eishes Ish. If she's not your wife, even if you were in clothes, so too with your wife. Right?
So that would be saying that's even
Nesedereisa? Sounds like Nesedereisa. Sounds that way. It's a little bit funny. The Gemara really sounds like a man with his wife is more kal than a man with another person's wife, which is really a pella because we've been, you know, the whole assumption of our halakhos is that that's not true, that it's really dafka than with your wife. The emes, you know, without all the shayim telling us not that way, you could have said it's not true. You could have said no. The Gemara sounds like it's kol shekein with someone else's wife. The Gemara says, it brings a passage from Yecheskel, that's makish anida to eishes chavercha. So to tell you that anida, you have to be just as worried as with your friend's wife. So just like your friend's wife, you can't sleep in bed with her, right? It would definitely be lo sikra of why. Because it's definitely suggested that it's bringing close to Isser, so too with your own wife, even though it's not so suggestive. Afal pikein is asr. So the Gemara, just the way the Gemara goes, really perhaps, is definitely strange. But certainly with this chumrah of not sitting in her bed when she's not even there, the chayra, you could say the Gemara was talking about the dafkin when it was in her bed. And then the Gemara is talking about, it's a bed they sleep in. Let them sleep in the bed together, some stomach, even though it's etim, her bed also. But Maisa, the Gemara seems I was not bothered by that. So Stam needs hezer where this is coming from, and also the Gedr Hadin. You know, if the son is not Pachlal and has no Makkah, it's very hard to talk about the Gedr Hadin is. So the Binyan Tzion. So here's a very interesting tshuva on this that really he says that this is really very interesting. It's not stama harchaka that came out of thin air. It's not that it's so here her deck, but it's really based on a tshuva you find already in the Gaonim, and it's based on the din of tumah v'tara. He brings a number of tshuvos. The easiest to see inside is in the Sefer HaEshkol, a tshuva from Haiko. That the Talmid, the master of Haigo, says we have a minig in Bavel. The minig was that if anyone touched the bed of Anita, they would not touch it, but if they would touch it, they would go to the mikvah. So the master of Haigo says we're doing this minig, but does this minig really make sense? This minig is clearly just a remnant of the days that Klal Yisrael kept in a Tumah Tara, but today that we're all Tumah Meis, maybe we should stop this minig. So Rav Haigun says, you're right, Al Tumah V'Tara, you're right. He says, but it's kedai to keep the minhag because it's archaka from an aveira. So basically what he's telling you is that Enochinam, the din is the din of Tumah V'Tara, but it's the stabber to borrow from the halachas of Tumah V'Tara in order to create a harchaka. Right, he's making no claim that there's such a harchaka that they have a Messiah like this, that this is the there's a takana like this. But he's saying it's a proper thing to do as a harchaka, because of this, to keep this din of Tumah V'Tara. On the same thing, Rashi in Sefer Ora, he has the same sort of idea there. He writes there, he says the Ka'ara and Metpachas and Stinim and Karim and Ksasos that are miyuchid to Anida, so all these kalim, so he says the minig is that the nida, special ones that are miyuchad for her. And when she's metaher, they wash these kelim. It doesn't say if they put them in a mikvah, but it just says they wash them. And he says this is a good minhag mishum hergel aveira. He says even though be'ikar is something that was just known from the time of the remnant from the days of Tum and Tar, but afal pikein, he says this is a good minhag mishum hergel aveira. We find that the Taz had such a minhag. These sort of minhagim sound like very extreme to us. It's not we don't really have anything so extreme. The Taz is interesting in our siman Sifkat and Vav. So he mentions that there was a minhag in his days of people not to touch a sheet that had the wife's blood on it. That actually had damnida on it, that the husband wouldn't touch the sheet. So it's interesting, l'chair, this is a throwback to Haigon's takana. That the concept being is it's a herchik from tuma. I thought some of the concept is coming out of this Ramban, Parshas Vayetze, tells you that the soid of Mishkav and Moshav of Anida and Azava is the only place the Torah tells us in Isser of Mishkav and Moshav. So he says the soid of it is because Anida, you know, she had a place where she would sit, she had blood coming out of her, and she maybe didn't have underwear back then, and she had a place where she would sit, and that would be miyukar for her. And a place with taka could get blood on it, right? Could get blood on it. And the mela, the Torah was machmer that the moishav of a moishav which is mishkav hamiyuchad la, her mishkav, which could have dam on it, with dam which is an avatuma, a real connection to the actual tuma of nida. So the mela, the Torah made that in a din of tuma. So the mela, such a tuma like that. They were machmer not to touch. Not to touch the sheep, but a mamash had blood on it. That was already something they wanted to machmer. So the Taz does not think it's a reasonable minhag. But the concept behind it is you see that there's really, really this Isser of Mishkav L'chair is a remnant from the Din of Tum and Tar. When these are Hezra, what are they talking about? What's Rav Haigon talking about? It's the Din of Tum and Tara. You want to make Din of Hergel Aveira, so make Din of Hergel Aveira. But what are you borrowing from Tum and Tara, outdated Dinim, to just borrow it for, pull it over. Let's pull it over for Har Chaka. So the Chor, I thought the Pshat is that Rav Haigon understood that within the Din of Tara, the Shivim Panim L'Tara, and there's lots of chachma and time of the crow. We're not there, time of the crow l'maisa to make halacha. But rather, there's time in the Torah, and there's a concept in the Torah. And within the concept of tum and tara was that the Torah wants to have harchakos. That tumah, it's you know, some eager time is the preparation a person needs in order to eat kachshim and to come to the mikdash. But there's also a concept of Tum and Tara is that people should be meruchim. And the way Torah was observed until the end of the Beis HaMikdash, and even further in the days of Chazal, when they still kept some level of Tum and Tara, until through the days of Gaonim, but there was some kiyum of Dinei Tum and Tara. And the concept of that was a certain surah of what life is like when one's wife is anida, a certain level of harchaka. And then Mela, when that fell off, so a certain surah of Torah was somewhat lost, and Rav Haigon understood that there's a part of that surah that we really do want to keep. And therefore he understood that, like the time of the Krah, that this tak is a good harchaka. There is an inning that the Torah answered Moshe, gave it din, that Moshe of Mishkav, the bed of Anida, is an avatam. It's mamish, just as tummy as the woman herself. In that, we see a kikilo remez that the Torah wants a distancing of the man from the bed of the wife who's anida. It's interesting. By Mitzora, could you also find such a concept? You know, by Mitzora, he's supposed to be Badad Yeshev. The point is not just Toma, right? But we want to separate him for the yeshiv. He should for whatever time he mother. We want him to be alone, right? Not just a problem with mitzvah and kachshim, but the esem should be alone. And part of that is tummy yikra. He has to rip his clothes and cover his head with a hood to distance himself and say, "I'm tummy, stay away from me." And that's a part of his being distanced, being meruchuk, and to say he's tummy. That tumma, that extreme tumma of Mitzayra, is something that the concept is also to be merachik him. We find Chazal also, an interesting takon of Chazal. Chazal, the halacha and tumma tara that Meikra Din Gayim are completely not tummy. However, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Lamed Vav that the Chachamu were gozer tumma on Gayim. The Gemara says it was because the Chachamu wanted us to be distanced from Gayim. I mean, even though they're not Tumma, that's Tumma V'Tara, but we want to distance them, so therefore Chazal understood that Tumma is the proper type of vehicle to create Harchaka. So clearly that they saw that concept, that Tumma and Harchaka are connected ideas. So that's the sort of Machshavah behind the Isser. Now, Lamais, it's important just to understand the gedra of the Isser. So, ultimately, end of the day, the gedra has to have something to do with Yehur, because it had nothing to do with Hachaka. Certainly, we don't take all the din on the Tumah and Tara. But something was seen here, Lagabe Yehur. But what exactly is it? So, if you purely look at here without this whole Shtickle Torah of the Binyan Siyum, so down with Darul Dover, it's not so clear exactly what you would say about different issues. One issue is that in the Shulchan Aruch and all the earlier sources bringing this Issa, they're all talking about the man not going into her bed. The Taz, so he points out, he says he doesn't understand, what's the difference? And coming to this is purely a Svaradik din, he says that, why should there be a chilek? And if the Taz holds that the woman should have the same problem of not going into the man's bed. Even Shalom B'Fanav. Because why does causes hear her? Women, okay, true, women don't have as much here as men, but they also have here. So just like you want to keep the man symbolically, you want to keep the man out of her bed, so keep her out of his bed. You know, you can even say that perhaps either way could bring to an aveira, right? Either one finding the other one sleeping in their bed, it could bring to a problem, and therefore the Taz says it's aser. Others that were cholik, the Torah Shlamim and the Bircha Yosef, so they write that Taka, we don't see this. This is not the Isser. The Taz is saying a very bechidush here. It could be mechalik, right? Even the Svari could be mechalik. Should he be mechalik? So not clear, but it could be mechalik. But if we have the Binyan Siyan, once we have the Binyan Siyan and understanding the nature of this Isser, it's very pashut that we should be mechalik. It's not the mikra that everyone's just talking about, the earlier poskim were just talking about the woman's bed. The pshat is because, of course, Rav Haigar was only talking about her bed. That's the inner of the Avatuma, that's the Mishkav. The male, that's the Isser. That's the Isser, and therefore that will determine the Gedra Isser. And therefore we'll say, in a chinami, there could be some sort of here the Kusvara with her and his bed. But Lamaisa, this is the Gedra. And the Hezber will say this also. Well, the Gedra will sort of tell us which svaras to use. And the svar will be used to say is that him going to her bed, so him in her bed, the man has more taiva than the woman. And a mela, it'll bring to Issa. But the other way around is not an Issa. Yeah.
But if she were to go into his bed, then it would become an avatuma, and he shouldn't be able to go into his own bed.
Oh, so the din is. Is that we know from Meruba?
I was thinking that.
It's Mishkavo. Mishkavo? What did I say? Mishkavo? Mishkavo Loha Gazel. That's not Gazel, that's interesting. That's not true. You're right. That is true. But maybe this girl, because she wasn't, she, one second. Yeah, if it's his bed and she's going to ask around him, so then she's in the most of the shalom.
We also talked about, we've shown him that the whole entire Yisrael would be a question of matter about it's like not yours, like why should that matter?
Right.
So it's like coming from a din mentioned somewhere in Shabbos that like you're saying on the keys that's not yours, the owner can come up any second and say, like, what are you doing there? Like, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Think about like.
Right.
So like even if it's in a shul, it's like that husband can say, like, well, why are you on my bed? I mean, that might not be the best meal,
right.
Whatever, but. So it might not
be common. I mean, it has to be a mishka that's miyuchad law, because the timing of the kralacha is because it's mamash becoming like the nida. It's almost like an extension of her. So it's you need more. The Pesachei Tshuva, so he says that pshara here. And the pshara is to say that the woman could go into the man's bed if the man's not here. But in front of the man, she can't go into his bed. And the svar for that is that that's clearly more here, her dick, if she's going into his bed, the place where he sleeps, in front of him. And it's pointed out that it's even really more pashut, because we know there's asur for her to be matzia the mita. She can't make his bed when it's befanav. So she can't make his bed befanav. Why? Because that already, if that's asr, because that brings them, like, see, that's too close. So Kol Shekin, if she's actually lying on his bed, it should be asr. There's another shayla. Now, the Lashon in the Mechaber is asr to sit on the bed. So what's with the sit on the bed? Why are you sitting on the bed? What's about sitting? So the Shach, so he writes, that it makes sense that Issa's only lying on the bed. So, Svara makes a lot of sense that lying on the bed should be the Issa, because sitting on the bed is not really Hirhadik. It's the lying on the bed. You're not using the bed as a bed, you're using it as a chair, so that's not Hirhadik. When you use it as a bed, it's lying in it, so that if you're lying on the bed, that's going to bring to bad Hirhara. As a svara, we could maybe hear it, if it's here. But a fee the bidding scene, so we could very well hear not that way. We could hear a different type of a geder. Now we could hear the ultimate thing we could hear is, of course, Rav Haigon himself says you can't touch it, and that's not brought. But we could hear something else. We could hear what the Mechaber says about us sitting in the bed. Sitting in the bed is something that's more than just touching the bed. There's a din by Mishkav and Moshav that there's a tumah that could be contracted just by sitting on the bed. The Torah talks about it. If he sits on the kli that she's yoshevet alav, or on the Mishkav that she's shochev alav, he becomes tamei. There's a din that if one touches a bed, a Mishkav, of an eid, it becomes tamei. But there's a separate din of sitting or lying on it. And when someone's sitting or lying on the bed, and even if he's not touching the bed, even if there's a hefsek between him and the bed, just the fact he's sitting or lying in her bed, that itself, in an eidah's bed, that itself gives over tumah. So we could suggest that the soid of the iser, in a chinami, we could have just said stam negiyah. But Nagiyu, that's a din that was more seen, at least in the Doros, as not something that was kedai to pull over to Helchos Nida. Because touching it is really, makes sense, as more of a pure Tumah V'Tahara to Kedin. It has nothing to do per se with Nida. Anything you touch gives Tumah. But this din of Mishkav, this Miyuchad din that the Torah teaches us by Nida of Mishkav, that her bed is a type of Tumah, so that Tumah is given over also with a special mahalach, the special mahalach of Kabbalah's Tumah by Mishka, that one who sleeps on the bed, one who lies on the bed or sits on the bed. So in Mela, since there's a connection that way, the Torah tells us there's a special connection to Tumah by the sitting or lying on the bed, so one could say that was the din, the halacha, after which this was patterned. And the mela, the machaber will be dafka, not touching, and not just lying, but even sitting there. In came, it gives a very nice gedder to the din. There's a lot of shailas that exactly what it is. Sometimes people have to climb over their wife's bed or lean on the wife's bed. So exactly at what point is that considered sitting on the bed? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mishkav Moshe, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, he says that the halacha is that tuma is contracted from the Mishkav if the person leans most of his weight on the bed. If it's supporting most of his weight, that creates tuma. But if he touches it, then it'll be tuma regardless. But if there's some hefsek there, but he leans on it with most of his weight, that gives tuma. So lachar, that should be together here as well. Not to lean on the bed with most of the weight. Okay, the left, yeah.
I'm just wondering, I think sometimes when we say most of the weight, that means that if you pull it away and you fall. Is that true here too?
Oh, that's a good question. Like by Gabi was considered Amida versus Yeshiva. Right, like by Vidu, you have to be. To have a din of omeid, it has to be that if you take away the thing you're leaning on, you would fall. So is that true? So I don't know. Okay, so clean out the forget.
Makes it as if that would be the mitzvahs.
What?
It makes it as if that would be the mitzvahs if two things would be equal. Then when are you able to stand by yourself to have things taken?
Right.
And I don't know.
Sorry, let me check. It might be fair, I just don't know. Okay, just the last point here about the bed is the Shiloh, what's the din if they want to change beds? It's often not so clear what's the husband's bed, what's the wife's bed, and what if they want to change beds? So l'chayr, this could also depend, right? You could say, I've seen said, if it's a heretic din, so in Mela, the question is just whose bed is it tonight? Once you change whose bed it is, so maybe just change whose bed it is. Say that now you're changing it, that the change who's sleeping in which bed, and in Mela, now the man plans to go to sleep in the wife's bed, the woman's going to sleep in the man's bed. So now it's not heretic because the reason it's heretic is because the man sleeping there, he knows this is his wife's bed. Maybe his wife will come into the bed. But if they change it and they had Gemir Stas, they did a Meister Kinyan, I don't know, they had Gemir Stas and they change it, so the male, now it's changed. So maybe they could just change it. But if you go with the Bin Tzion's Mahalach, so I think it's more of a stabber to say no. If that was Miyuchad, that's her bed when she was in Nida, so the male, it's her bed. They switch beds, and now Miyachad, the other bed, is her bed. It also becomes her bed. And afterwards, they ask the Shaila, maybe now they're both her bed. Maybe that could be. I mean, the Shaila is it's a mita that was Miyachad to her. So after that could be. You know, it depends how seriously you want to take the dimyon, and how much you want to go by hear her. But Lamaisa better, whatever she became a nita, and that assume that should be her bed. She should stay in until she becomes the Hira.
Okay.
Yeah.
You with the Binyan Tzion, are we saying it's, I mean, we're not saying it's pure Tumatara, or there has to be some sort of hair element to it? I'm just wondering
Right, because we're saying it's we're taking from a Mishum, it's a good minute, Mishum Hergel Aveira. So if I didn't have any way to be Mechalik and hear her, L'chaira shouldn't be true.
So let's say like a chair is hers.
Oh, right. So chair, you don't see any Yisr. Mm-hmm. Right, that's a good point.
Even for the Binyan Tzion, it wouldn't be an issue because that's just a chair. And even right. Though it's miyuchad to her, and so in terms of tuma, it would be a problem. But in terms of her go there, it wouldn't be.
Right. Right, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good shmacka point. I don't know what Rav Haigon himself would say, but look her, that's to be true.
I didn't see Rav Haigon inside, I just heard the way Rabbi just said it just now, but like, was he saying that everyone should adopt this, or was he just saying that community that had that minhag, so male don't be mabato because it makes sense to have the Olivera, but he's not going to go make up a for everybody else?
Let me just say, I the exact lashon here. I probably have a lashon written someplace. I find it very quickly. Here's the lashon. Let's see. Ubimakomenu machmirim anu alatzmenu shlo yiga adam v'mishka v'moshu shel nida. Eli kavis begadav yitar gufo. Ad shekamal talmidim ubikshu l'shanos v'nagenu. V'amru she'en lanu lifrosh v'mishka v'moshu shel nida. Kol zman she'en lanu tar mishar tumas. Kigon tumas meis. V'hishav rav hai. Actually, she is Ame Aris Shalo Yishmo Yifritsu Bo Vivoli de Avera, Ro She Yinhagu Bo Esser. So that's his lesson there. So what is that saying? I don't know. That's the lesson. So the Bnei Tzion had a few tshuvos of similar lashonos. You know, so I don't. Yeah. All right. Shkach.